Welcome back into the Dapped on Draft podcast, your Wednesday edition of the Dapped on Draft podcast. I'm your host, Corey Kinnon, with your co-host, Dalton Miller. Dalton, we're back in the saddle.
We are back in the saddle. And you know what? That makes me miss riding horses. That's something that my wife and I got into right before she got pregnant with our son. We were doing it weekly, and the therapeutic nature of those horses, which are just huge dogs, was fantastic. It's something that I looked forward to every week, and I miss it. So back on the podcasting horse here, and we're going to get right back on track, and we're going to get into our segment of the day.
Yeah. So we did it a little bit in the last episode, but we're going to have a full episode titled Daft or Draft. So again, we kind of brought it up a little bit talking about Quinn Ewers last episode, but the after draft, basically true or false, like, do you buy it or do you not? Like, daft, is it silly? Is it nonsense? Is it lighthearted? You don't take it seriously? Or draft, like, are you pounding the table for this? Are you putting your name on that card and turning it in? Like, I am drafting the idea of this. So we have three different topics that we're going to be dafting or drafting, basically. And yeah, we're just going to talk through it.
That topic as well. Don't take it too seriously. We're just two guys with microphones in front of us. You don't have to take that too seriously either. Yeah. Just have fun listening.
That's how I got the name Daft on Draft, by the way. I don't know if you knew that, but that's probably a different podcast. But the NFL draft is not that serious. NFL teams miss all the time. They miss all the time.
Literally all of the time.
So if you miss all the time, who cares?
Is that not your favorite part about being online?
It's not that serious.
Everybody so... And I see it all the time.
You got this so wrong. It's like, okay.
Well, no, it's not even about like the right or wrong thing. It's just the black and white of like, oh, this guy is going to be the best. Like,
yeah.
There's so much like feet in the sand on guys who it's like, there's like a 70% chance that guy is not going to see a second contract. And it's just the way that it goes. We don't, first of all, have the information that teams have on these guys as individuals, as people, as students, as fathers and sons. So like, we don't know that part of it. We can only say, hey, this is what we're seeing on the field on Saturdays, and this is how we think it's going to translate on Sundays. And then that doesn't even bring into account all of the different schematic things that are happening at the NFL level compared to college and how that translates. And then body types and play styles that don't fit at the next level. But if they went to a different team in a different situation, they might have been an all pro. Like, it's just the way that it goes. And so, yes, it is not that serious, guys.
Yeah.
But it is fun.
It is fun. So do it. I love it. Awesome. So that's what we're going to do. We got three topics here. So let's dive into the first one here. Dalton has raved about his love of the running back class. I also think it's a very good running back class. So draft or draft, two running backs get drafted in the first round of the 2025 NFL draft.
I believe this is the lowest week one passing touchdown total in like the past 10 years. And it was like 33 touchdown passes this week. I'm going to say draft here. We saw it a couple of years ago, and I think that while this class might not be better at the top of the class, I think when you just look at the names in this class, you have somebody who we both really, really like at Boise State in Ashton, and then there's Ollie Gordon, there's Judkins at Ohio State, there's Henderson at Ohio State, and I don't really think that either of those guys are first-round guys per se, but if they fit a specific scheme or system, I could see them being a high second round pick guy. And then if your team is kind of built ready for a championship, and you really don't need to fill many holes, and you can draft based on, you know, a little bit of a luxury, then maybe you take a guy like Henderson, who's going to run a 4.40 and has some explosiveness. Omarion Hampton is somebody who I don't think we've talked enough about so far on this podcast, but he reminds me a lot of Javonte Williams, who, used to be at North Carolina. I don't think he's quite as big or quite as powerful, but I don't think anybody I've seen in the past couple of years breaks tackles consistently the way he does, and the ability to fall forward, plus having the explosiveness that he has. So yeah, there's a bunch of guys in this class that I think could be in that first round talent in the back half. And then you look at the rest of this class, especially on the offensive side of the ball, and you look at a bit of a barren wasteland. And so, yes, I do believe you're going to see teams that are saying, hey, we need an offensive weapon. Are targets to backs efficient? No. But you're still going to see backs get 80 to 100 targets every single year. And I think that if you can find a guy who is consistent and can have, you know, pick up those explosive plays, those 15-yard plus plays, I think that those are the kinds of guys who can go at the end of round one. And I think that there's guys in this class that fit that mold.
Yeah, the NFL is really funny. So going back to 2021, 2021, two were drafted. 2022, zero. 2023, two. 2024, zero. So if we're following history, then yeah, two are going to get drafted this year. I don't know if I 100% buy it, because I think there's only one running back that I really love, and it's Jante. Like, as like a, this is a game-changing running back at the NFL level. I do like Ollie Gordon. I do think Ollie Gordon is a little upright, a little bit. And I don't necessarily think bumper car tackles or guys whose main way of winning at the college level is running through tackles necessarily translate to the NFL effectively well. So like Omarion fits that, right? Fits that. So I and then you talk about Travion Henderson. Travion Henderson had a hairline fracture in his foot. Like, and he hasn't been a clean bill of health. Like, how are his meds going to turn up? If there's even a sliver of a medical issue, like, he plays running back. Like, yep. He's not going to go in the first round. Like, Quinshon Judkins, I think he had a really explosive game against Western Michigan. Like, he looked, that might be the most juice that I saw from him.
Directional school.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So, but I don't know how much juice he has in his hips, like how much fluidity there is in his hips.
That's how I feel about him too. Plus, I do, you were talking about bumper cars, and just real quick, I do believe that contact balance is incredibly important. And I don't think that either of those Ohio State guys have particularly good contact balance overall.
I agree. Contact balance is like one of those areas where I missed on a guy like Dwayne McBride, though. Like, I really loved Dwayne McBride out of UAB because, like, you couldn't tackle that guy.
Yeah.
Then his eyes were terrible, and that translated to the NFL, and he didn't know how to set up a block, and he wasn't patient with the football in his hands, and all that other stuff.
And see, that's where I think Ollie Gordon separates himself, and he is a little bit upright, but he's also 6'2". A 6'2" running back. I mean, I look at a guy, and I'm like, that's, just look at him, like, that's Arian Foster without the Twitter. Like that's what he reminds me of on the field. And I think that dynamic ability, when you are 6'2" and you can move your feet and set up defenders the way that he can, that's really, really tough to bet against. And then the dichotomy of that is Ashton, who is muscle hamster. Yeah. And so,
where it can you cut on a dime. Like that that's where I love it, though. If
he runs a 4.6, like, he's not going in round one. So it's tough because you do need that explosiveness that I think you're going to get from a guy like Gordon or a guy like Henderson. But Henderson, like you said, had the hairline fracture in his foot, and he's a running back. And these guys are all running backs. I'm going to say that it happens because I don't love this class on offense. But, yeah, it probably shouldn't.
I'm going to say it happens, too. Because, like, there are running backs we haven't talked about in this conversation that I think are legitimately dynamic playmakers, and an NFL team could love them. And they are going to have a chance against some good teams to, like, show out. And I think Nick Singleton from Penn State is one of those guys. Yep. I think Jaden Ott from Cal. Cal is playing in the ACC this year. They're going to face some good defenses. Jaden Ott is a game changer in that offense. One, it's because Cal isn't a very talented offense in general, so like, he's the best playmaker on their team, but he's a game changer in the offense. So like, I think those two guys, I really love Devin Neal, but I don't think he's a first round running back. I think he's one of those day two guys that are gonna find a role and contribute as a rookie. But
yeah, and we have somebody whose brother was a first round pick at the same position. in Trevor Etienne. So
yeah,
I mean, we'll see what happens with everything. The suspension. He came back this week. He got like, I think it was like 75 yards on like 12 touches. But we'll see what happens with him as well.
Yeah, they have a freshman running back who's really good. I think Etienne's probably going to
Georgia has a freshman running back that's really good. That's crazy.
His name's Frazier. Yeah, he's
crazy. I've never heard that story from Georgia before.
So I'm going to say Daft.
All right, you called it Daft. Not happening.
The Ollie Gordon body type is just not a. I mean, Najee Harris, I guess, went first round. He's kind of a bulky dude,
and he's not nearly as explosive.
Yeah. I'm going to say Daft still. I'm going to stick with Daft. Right. I say one. I think it's going to be Janty at the end of round one to like Kansas City or something like that.
Yeah. Well, we've seen Kansas City take a back at 32 before.
Well, and well, they overdrafted that guy by probably a few rounds, in my opinion. But I think there are some teams that are going to be really good at the back end of the draft. Like, I mean, even Baltimore. Like, Baltimore could take a guy like Janty. That would be unbelievable.
Yeah.
Some teams like that that could take a guy like Janty, who have really good offensive rosters otherwise, where you can afford, you can take a luxury pick like that. Yeah. All right. Second Dafter draft. The 2025 quarterback class is over exceeding expectations. Dalton and I have been on record saying that this is not a very good quarterback class if you're looking for a high caliber top end guy. So Dalton, is the 2025 class over exceeding your expectations?
I think in that respect, it is draft. And it is because we have seen Beck do what we just expect Beck to do week in and week out. And you have had the quick, sudden emergence of Quinn Ewers, who we didn't even talk about in our podcast. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see the guy at Colorado do incredible things some weeks because the teams that he's playing are at about the same level as Colorado. And then every time an actual defensive line shows up against him, it's not going to go very well. And that's not all his fault. Part of it definitely falls on him and his inability to consistently get the ball out when he needs to get the ball out. But that offensive line is atrocious. So he's just not going to be able to show everything all of the time. And it's just exactly like the picture that we saw last year from him. And then Texas A&M, we both really liked Connor. And it just really bad week one. Really, really, really bad week one. That Notre Dame defense is incredible. They do literally everything perfectly. They are my favorite defense to watch all of the time, every single year. And that is no exception this year, just with the way that they communicate, the way that they make life difficult for guys like Caleb Williams last year as well. So definitely happened. There was nobody open in that game, but he also played poorly on top of that. And so I say draft, but it's only because we've also seen guys out of nowhere like Garrett Nussmeier play really well so far this year. And I think LSU obviously needs to play a little bit more competition. They had a really big game in week one against USC, but USC and Lincoln Riley teams have never been known for good defenses ever. So you want to see that in SEC play to see what's going on there. Outside of that, Drew Allar looks like he is improving to a point where you might be able to see somebody who is that, you know, first-ish round guy eventually. I don't think he's there yet. The consistency isn't there, and it's Penn State and James Franklin, and I'm not going to get on a note about James Franklin and his coaching style, yeah. But we've seen those guys play pretty well, and these are guys who we weren't talking about and are on mock draft simulators, you know, in the 90s or below, so I think that you're seeing a little bit better. And then that we haven't even mentioned Cam Ward, who is playing lights out right now. You want to see it in ACC play against really good competition. You want to see the consistency, because with Cam Ward, it always has been about consistency.
Yeah.
But yes, right now, today, through 2 weeks, it has been better than we expected.
Mm-hmm. Hardy Fiber Cement Siding handles conditions that can cause damage to vinyl. From fire to hail, Hardy Siding stands tall through it all, helping trade professionals look their best when they recommend Hardy Siding and Trim. See the proof at jameshardy.com.
So we're going to get a pretty decent look at Weigman and how he kind of stacks up to a guy like Cam Ward, because Texas A&M is playing Florida this weekend. and Texas A- or, and Cam Ward in Miami throttled them. So we're going to get a pretty good look about how Weigman and Ward stack up against the same defense in that case. We also are going to get Weigman and Ewers at the end of the season as well. So November.
Yeah, it's going to be sick.
That's going to be fun. So here's the thing. I'm going to say Daft, and that's not to be like just to be different from you, but because all of these guys are doing kind of what I expected, like the Ewers against Michigan thing, I expected Texas to throttle them, but I expected Michigan's defense to confuse Ewers more than it did, because they still have Will Johnson. They still have Mason Graham. They still have Kenneth Grant. They still have NFL talent all over that side of the ball. I knew it was going to be rough offensively for them. So like, yeah, I can kind of give Ewers a pass, but like at the same time, he beat Alabama week two last year. And then the rest of the season, it's like the wheels kind of fell off a little bit in terms of his accuracy and his pre-post snap process. Again, it feels weird to say the wheels fell off about a team that went to the college football playoffs, but from a process standpoint, from an evaluation standpoint with Ewers as an NFL quarterback, the wheels kind of fell off after that. Shador the same way, like the start of his season last year was electric against TCU and Nebraska, and then it fell off for him. Beck is the standard right now,
Beck,
right?
Like, Beck, yeah,
that's the standard. That's just be consistent, and he's doing that. So like, I think they're kind of meeting my expectations at this point. Like Cam Ward, even like they beat Wisconsin, Washington State beat Wisconsin last year, but Ward went to a point, and like there was even like a point in like week five, week six, where Dane Brugler was like, scouts are talking about this guy. But then like Cam Ward turned back into Cam Ward and started throwing across his body and behind his body into double coverage, like hospital balls over the middle. And he hit that like, ah, there he is moment. So like, I'm holding out hope that this quarterback class can turn it, but they're all doing the same things they did last year up to this point. Yeah. And so like, until they hit that threshold and they get past that threshold and I can see it more consistently, I'm still going to say Daft, because like, I mean, Shador made an egregious decision in that Nebraska game that like goes beyond his offensive line play. He was late on a hitch inside his own 10-yard line. Like that has little to do with his offensive line in that moment, and threw an egregious pick six. Like, and his protection's not going to get better. So I like, there's part of it thinks we're going to see the same Shador this year. Ewers has an SEC schedule. So like, I need to see it against that SEC schedule consistently. He did it against Michigan. That's great. He did it against Bama last year. He had a really rough game against Oklahoma last year, like in the Red River rivalry. Like he had some rough games in the Big 12. So like, can he get through that gauntlet? Again, we talked about last episode, like Sarkisian is giving him everything he needs to be efficient, to just take the short stuff and to just be on time and on schedule. And he did it against Michigan. I don't need him to go out and like start hitting deep balls and doing a whole bunch of crazy stuff out of structure. Can he be Mac Jones in that offense the rest of the season? Can he just be efficient and on time, and as he's going through the gauntlet of the SEC schedule? If he does, then yeah, I'll get there with Quinn Ewers. But I need to see it. I'm not going to get there with Milroe. I might get there with a guy like Jackson Dart, though. I might get there with a guy like Jackson Dart. We'll see.
Let's see them getting the SEC play as
exactly,
well.
Exactly, yeah. Weigman, say, I don't think that week one game is going to erase any chance of going in the first round for him, because he's also got an SEC schedule.
Yeah, it's not going to totally erase it, but it was a very bad first impression.
I also had heard that maybe he had 100-degree fever in that game and was playing through that, and he did vomit on the field, so maybe that backs it up a little bit too. Yeah. But I had heard that he hasn't mentioned it. Obviously, he's not going to do it. He's going to own it and move on. But Aller has taken a little bit of a step forward. That Bowling Green game was a little bit tape. That tape in Bowling Green was a little bit rough. But so, like, I'm gonna adapt it just because, like, they're playing kind of as I expected them to.
Yeah.
Still.
All right.
Yeah. Last one. College football related. Not overly NFL draft related, but we'll talk about NFL draft prospects in the process of it, because we're mentioning three of the best programs in the nation. Daft or draft. College football this season is a three-man race between Ohio State, Georgia, and Texas.
Draft.
I'm drafting men too.
God, I was begging. I was praying, sending vibes that Notre Dame might be legit, but man, you can't get there with Riley Leonard. Mm-mm. You just can't get there with him. You cannot score 14 points against Northern Illinois. You just can't do it. That defense does not deserve that offense, or that offense doesn't deserve that defense, is what I should say. So that was very, very sad for me. I'm hoping that we get a team to come out of nowhere. You know, give me an Ole Miss to actually be really good in the SEC, or a Missouri. But that's the kind of the problem with the SEC, is they're all just going to beat up on one another. So,
yeah,
at the end of the day, that road goes through Georgia and goes through Athens. And I think that Georgia team with Beck, as consistent as he is with that defense, and I mean, with 12 teams getting into the playoffs, so you will have more opportunity. But, and in a one game sample, anything can happen. But at the college level, we have consistently seen the best teams end up being in the national championship anyways. The one seed, the two seed, or if the three seed was better than the two seed that year, that's kind of how it is going. It is not very often we have seen the lower seeds actually make a bunch of noise, and that's going to be the same thing this year as well and in the future. So I do think that we'll see more parity in college football overall as NIL kind of comes into its own and the P5 has become the P4, and you're going to see some of these older Pac-12 teams in really, really good college environments, good locations, start to rebuild a little bit and get bigger, and maybe the USC finds a defense eventually. But I think it's still a little bit early for that. I think it's Texas. I think it is Georgia. And I think that it is what the third team that we
Ohio State,
that Big Ten team that I always forget about.
I'm gonna draft it too. Alabama's number four, and you can never, like, it always feels weird to not include Alabama, especially when they're sitting at number four.
I don't trust Milroe.
I don't either. He's not a legitimate NFL draft prospect quarterback for me at this point. Like, he's just not. And I know there's a lot of people who are like, oh, I don't know, man. He's clunky for one thing. He's a thrower. He's late on everything, and he just makes things happen outside of structure because he's mobile and he does have a big arm. But like, quarterbacks who are late on everything in college don't translate well to the NFL.
No,
they don't. Bo Nix, I mean, Bo Nix is different because his actually was the complete opposite, where everything was manufactured and on schedule. But Zach Wilson is the ideal in the situation. Like, nothing, Justin Fields, same way. Everything that Zach Wilson did at BYU, he was never on time. But then he would make these funky arm angles off these ridiculous platforms, and people fell in love with it. Justin Fields runs a 4.4, and everybody knew that, at 6'4", 220. So, like, there were reasons, and he was the most accurate quarterback that I've ever charted. What I didn't take into consideration were the throws that he was taking on time, and was his pressure to sack ratio good? Neither of those things were good.
I'm glad that you brought up P2S, because pressure to sack is something that I'm taking into account way more than I ever used to. It is very, very important at the NFL level, because there are very few times where you are able to hold on to the ball for more than 2.5 seconds.
Yep. Correct. Yeah. So you have to be on time, and Milroe just isn't. And he's compensating again because he's at Alabama with top tier talent around him, and he's hella athletic, but it's not to be taken seriously for me, at least at the NFL level. The one team that I'm like, and you're right about like the mid-tier SEC teams, Ole Miss, mm-hmm. Missouri, Tennessee, they're going to beat up each other. Like, that's the nature of it. They're going to beat up on each other.
Yep.
The one team that, like,
An
ACC team. Cam Ward and the Miami Hurricanes. Yep. Fan.
I knew that's where you were going as soon as you said you had a team.
That they can be sneaky. Like, because one, Miami is a private school, and their donors are endless. Like, they paid a lot of money for their roster this year.
Not to mention that college football is just more fun when Miami is good.
Yes. Yeah. You need a villain. You need a villain. And that's been Miami historically. I could see it. But again, with the past draft question, like, what kind of Cam Ward are you going to get all season, though? Especially when he did it against Florida, and that's huge. Like, to do that against the SEC, like your in-state rival, that's a hell of a way to start your season. Like, there's no discrediting that, but like, let's stack these games. Let's do it consistently. Let's keep the bozo gene turned off and play consistent football. But Miami is a team that I'm not looking past right now.
I mean, at the end of the day, like, who do they really have to play this year in the ACC? Louisville's a good team.
Are they like a threat to like win the ACC though?
No, no, not to win the ACC.
LeBron always has his guys well coached. That's true.
I'm talking about in complete dominance. Mm-hmm. And I just don't see anybody on that schedule that is going to beat Miami.
They might play Clemson in the ACC championship game.
Yeah.
But Clemson got boat raced by Georgia. So, like,
yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I.
And they have a quarterback with even more, way more bozo gene and not as much talent as Cam.
Correct. So, I mean, Louisville is the highest ranked team on their schedule right now. And that comes on October 19th. Until that, you're probably looking at the ACC championship game, assuming that they play Clemson. They might not even play Clemson.
Yeah.
They might not even play Clemson.
Kyle McCord.
And they do play Syracuse November 30th. Yeah, they do play Syracuse. But, I mean, Florida State's over-under got changed to 5.5 games this season. Adjusted to 5.5 games. There's no expectation for Florida State this year. No. Cal could be sneaky. Cal, they just beat, who'd they just beat? Virginia Tech? No, it wasn't Virginia Tech. Who did Cal just beat? Auburn. They just beat Auburn. Cal just beat Auburn. So that could be a sneaky game, but like Miami has a chance. But at this point, I'm drafting the idea that it's Ohio State, it's Georgia, and it's Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair. That's fair. And that listen, three topics. God, this is all the time we needed on this podcast. We can talk, ladies and gentlemen. That is one thing that we can do for sure.
Yeah, it is. It is. But again, we want to keep this in and out. So I think we accomplished that goal here.
Mm-hmm.
Proud of us.
We didn't do too bad.
We did it.
And we got a schedule now too, which is fantastic.
We do. It took a while to figure it out there, but.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We were traveling a little bit too, so it made it difficult. We're in the swing of things. It's football season. I ain't going anywhere. I'm really loving being able to sit down and watch college football and know that I don't have to do it for my job anymore. Man, it is a whole different feeling just being able to geek out and be a fan again and not just always have my analyst eyes on. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I love it. Again, there's been so much parity, so many upsets already that how can you not get pumped about that Northern Illinois head coach's postgame interview? Like, how can you not love college football?
The pageantry, and listen, college football is terrible. Like, it objectively, the football is terrible.
Yeah.
But it is, the pageantry of it is incredible. It is everything that is pure. Well, I guess with all the money in it, it's a little bit less pure. High school football is pure. No, not if you're in Texas. Anyways, college football is a lot of fun for its wackiness, for its quirkiness, and because we love to project guys to the NFL draft.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, we'll have two more episodes this week. Again, per our schedule, that first episode of the week is going to be all helmet stickers, all dissecting prospects, what they did the previous week. That Friday episode is going to be all pregame in that weekend. And that's me. And again, it'll be Thursday nights. We can talk about some action as well that'll happen on Wednesday nights throughout the season as we get deeper into it. But for the most part, it'll be prepping for, like, what are the matchups to watch? Who are these guys going to go against? Like, what are we keeping our eye on? And so it just feels so good, man. The fall is here. The weather's, you're in Portugal, so the weather's always nice for you. The weather's changing in Ohio. It's not 95 degrees out anymore. The leaves are falling. It's my season, baby. It's my time to thrive. So it's good to be back. Until next time. This is the Death on Draft podcast.